The Bible is funny.
Well, hello, the Bible is funny podcast family. Welcome back to another episode of the Bible is Funny podcast, where we talk about the funniest parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them. And we are on a run right now of the Bible is Funny podcast guests that is just going to be tough to match. This is just a great run that we are in the middle of. I hope you're enjoying getting to meet all of these wonderful people. Some of them maybe you knew before, some of them maybe you didn't. But it's just been a great run. And as I've told you before, there are people that you discover on Instagram or social media, whatever your social media of choice might be, and you're like, oh man. Well, maybe you don't have a podcast, but I have a podcast. And I'm like, oh, I'd really like to have them on the podcast, but you're like, there's like a hesitation. You're like, I don't know. What if they don't want to be on my podcast? And then am I going to like the person as much? Or what if I never hear back when I ask someone to be on the podcast? That feels very hurtful. I feel like you've been big timed by somebody on social media. But so I just say that, podcast family, because it's for you guys that I'm putting myself out there and I'm inviting the best people on the internet to be a part of this podcast so that we get to talk to them. And today we have another one of those people, and it is none other than Gabby Llewellyn.
I saw a little bit of the panic in your eyes of like, am I going to say the last name right?
It's a tricky last name. It's a tricky last name. It's a lot of, it is a lot of L's. We're talking about this. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's a comical amount of L's almost.
Especially like, with my first name, which is Gabriella, double L, Llewellyn, quadruple wow. L. So it's like six L's in my legal name.
That is so many L's. Yeah. What was your name before? What was your maiden name?
Huerta.
Mm-hmm. Huerta.
Huerta. Huerta. It's you didn't, Mexican, those are Spanish.
Those are two pretty difficult to pronounce.
Yeah, I've never had an easy name.
Rachel, my wife, her maiden name was Defayette, which is French-Canadian.
Yeah. I have no idea. No idea how you would spell that.
It's very fun, though, and it feels very fancy, and it feels very, like, luxury car, kind of. And then she got Russo, which just feels like very baseline. Like, this is a very simple name.
Well, at least everyone can say her name, you know? I'm sure that was a good upgrade.
She's Rachel Russo, which I feel like kind of sounds cool.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
Gabriella Llewellyn works. Llewellyn, I did get to practice saying because we had your husband on as a guest. Your husband is Chris Llewellyn.
Yep, the one.
He's the lead singer of a band called Wren Collective.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And I wasn't actually planning on starting by talking about this, but I'm so curious. Like, can you talk me through some of the process of you guys, like, meeting and how that happened?
Yeah, okay. So, let's see. I was in my senior year of college, and, he was on one of those big music festivals that Christian music has called the Rock and Worship Road Show, where it's like a bunch of artists and they all play in a sequence on stage. And so he was in my town playing that. And I had I don't know how much detail you want here, but you said you don't edit anything out. So
I want all the details.
I'm going to go for it.
The Rock and Worship Road Show.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the one, the Rock and Worship Roadshow. You would think those two words wouldn't go in the same title, but they did, and they do.
Yeah.
So, he was on that. He was just starting out. I had actually heard of his band 2 weeks before because I was low-key stalking my ex-boyfriend's blog, and he posted the Movements like music video, and I was like, this band, like, cause continues to have great taste. I think I don't keep in touch with him, but I remember being like, oh, this band is awesome. So good.
Your ex-boyfriend has great taste.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or Chris. Okay. Okay.
They both do, but yeah. So I was interested when he posted this video of this band, and, they ended up, and then I got these free tickets to Rock and Worship Roadshow, went along with a friend, and they announced Wren Collective. I was like, oh, I know these guys. I just looked them up on Spotify. And Then after the show, a friend of ours invited us to a coffee shop where some people from the Rock and Worship Roadshow were going to be playing like an acoustic show.
Yeah.
And this is where our friend Mike Donahue from 10th Avenue North likes to take credit for us being together, because they were doing a series of like acoustic shows after the main show in different coffee shops across the country, and that he had invited Gareth and Chris.
This is the Less Rock and Worship Roadshow.
Yes. This is back when like the Lumineers were massive. Everyone was like ho-haying away or the way around the country.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I went to that not knowing that Chris was going to be there. And then he was, and I had found out that night they were from Northern Ireland, and I had been to Northern Ireland several times. And it really is, it's like a very small country, and then the Christian population in that country is very small. So so I was like, I'll just go see if he knows anyone that I know, because it would be like someone coming from Rhode Island or something. It's just very small. And we ended up talking and talking and talking, and people always ask, like, did you go up to him knowing what was, or like angling for something? And I can say, honestly, no. Like, I thought he was super cute and definitely really cool, but yeah. I did not go into that conversation expecting to marry this guy. But then I remember I kept being like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to let you do your thing. And eventually he was like, can I like send you a Facebook message? Because he didn't have a U.S. phone. He was visiting for the month from Ireland, and that was our only way of communicating. And I came back from the show that night, and I had a message from him, and we just messaged back and forth for months. And then he came and visited me, and then we started dating, and then we got engaged on the anniversary of our meeting, in the coffee shop of our meeting.
Oh, come on.
And now we've been together ever since. So I like to say, you never know where you're going to meet your future spouse, because literally I could not have planned that. And sorry, I've got allergies, so I'm just going to wipe my nose. But
Same girl.
That's kind of where we met. And it's been fun. It's been a fun
journey. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's such a good story. I think my favorite part of that story, though, might be that you are stalking your ex-boyfriend's blog.
And I got vulnerable with you right away, right off the bat. I don't even think he knows that.
There's a lot of younger listeners that might not recall a moment in the internet's history where we all had blogs.
Oh, like, yes.
It was Zanga, this.
Yes. Live Journal. Blog.
Everybody was blogging. Now you're like, oh, yeah, you stalk your ex on Instagram and it's all easy. Like, no, before you would stalk through a blog of heartfelt essays.
Yeah. Curated from what content. Everything had a meaning and a purpose.
Mm-hmm. I went pretty hard on Zanga. I have not tried to find my old Zanga though. Now I'm going to have to after this. That's great though. You said you'd been to Northern Ireland a couple of times prior to that. Did you, mm-hmm. What was the connection between you and Northern Ireland outside of Chris?
So to make a longish story short, my church when I was in high school had a partnership with a church in Northern Ireland that was trying to do reconciliation work between Catholics and Protestants. So I had been over for a few summer camps to like help lead a few summer camps in specific communities where kind of that tension was still at a pretty high intensity. And so I loved it. And I remember thinking when I went, I was 18 at the time, and I was like, Lord, I don't know how I know this. I just know that this country is in my future. And it was. It was like one of those moments where you're like, oh, I think that actually really was the Holy Spirit preparing me for what was to come. But yeah.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as we're recording this podcast, I know people listen at different times, but it was one day after St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day was yesterday in our time. You know, where you're listening to this might have been a while ago now. So do you feel, have you always you've always gone really hard on St. Patrick's Day because of your connect, or now with Chris, do you feel like it's a more special holiday? What does this mean to people from Ireland? Would be my big question.
Honestly, not much. This is an American Irish holiday that I think Irish people have felt from my understanding as an American, and if people want to like corrections or correction corner me on this, that's fine.
Yeah.
But my understanding is that St. Patrick's Day is like kind of a thing, like President's Day is maybe for us.
Gotcha.
But it's not what we do here, where it's like we go out all out for some reason. And so I think that the band has definitely because people ask them about it all the time, they're like, yeah, we can celebrate this. This sounds fun.
Yeah, right. I think I would say maybe the equivalent for Americans is sometimes I meet people from other countries that think we're a little bit more cowboy obsessed than we are.
Yes.
And I'll lean into it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can put on a cowboy hat.
Sure. I can ask where a McDonald's is when I go to Paris. I probably will.
There's a terrible story about me and Rachel on our honeymoon. We were in Spain. We were in Barcelona, which was beautiful, but we weren't quite hitting it with the food. And so we couldn't figure out anywhere to eat. We're not big prawn fans. We're like, I don't know where we're going to eat. So we're walking around and we sit down in this restaurant. We're like, we'll just eat here. We sit down in this restaurant and I start looking around and I'm like, this is totally them making fun of Americans. And we stumbled right into it. It's got like an Elvis picture on the wall like a Marilyn Monroe picture on the wall. They were just like, this is kind of what Americans are into, right?
This is what you guys like, right? This is making you feel at home, isn't it?
And I want to be like, no, we're way more nuanced and stuff. But here I am overseas stumbling right into it going like, yes, yep. It was calling me like a moth to the flame. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all good to know. And thank you for being on right after St. Patrick's Day. I know the band did a fun thing with St. Patrick's Day this year. They've done some, they did like the live streaming worship during the pandemic and stuff like that. They've been doing all kinds of fun things. Do you have a role in that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I work for the band, pretty much full time. I have a background in journalism and strategic communications. That's what I went to school for. So, when I joined the band, I was kind of casually asked to, do their social media or help them out with it. And it's kind of just grown into being a bit of their media manager. So that sounds way more lofty than it actually is. Sometimes I post stuff to social media. Sometimes it looks like just answering emails, or sometimes it's looked like for the St. Patty's Day, like doing all the set decorating and making sure people have waters, and I just kind of pitch in and help out however I can. So,
gotcha. You know.
Just well, there I think, for the ride.
Sure. I think my experience with you in particular, I think I've seen some other people like comment this as well, was it was like, I actually think you liked The Bible Is Funny on Instagram before Chris did, if I remember correctly.
I'm sure that's true.
So I remember like every once in a while I see people follow and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I saw Chris and we ended up having Chris on the podcast. But like, that was the connection through which I kind of found you. And that was the first thing I knew about you. But you are a podcaster, a writer, a wonderful follow on Instagram. If you are not following, you need to start following Gabby Llewellyn right away. And so many wonderful things that you do all on your own. That is like, I was like, wow, what a little gift. I was like, oh, it's Christian Run Collective. And then we got to meet Gabby too. And I told him some of this. I won't rehash all of it, so listeners don't have to hear it twice. But like, my kids felt like real hard for Ren Collective. Like they are upset. They obsessed. And they would talk about Allie for like hours. Like, cause I didn't know her name at first. And then we would watch their videos and my son would like drum to them. And we were like, I don't know their names. And then for years, it's been like, when is Allie? He would ask me like very honestly, when's Allie coming over for dinner? Can we invite Allie over for dinner?
Oh my goodness.
And I would be like, well, I mean, I think she's probably busy, buddy. Like this was pre-pandemic. We were having these talks. So he was like obsessed with you guys. So it was just, it's all been such a wonderful thing.
To be fair, Allie is as amazing and magical as you would think that she is. She's incredible. And she would be really fun to have over for dinner. So I'll put in a good word for you guys.
when everybody's in town, you guys will definitely have a place. I don't know if I'll be invited, but Crosby will be here and he will be happy to entertain. So you started, you do all kinds of things. What's the name of the podcast that you started pretty recently?
Oh yeah. So I started it with my friend from Northern Ireland. It's called the Making an Effort podcast, which is kind of just a joke for us because everything feels like an effort when you're in your midlife. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we just, yeah, it's just a podcast where we talk about life and topics that interest us. It kind of started because we used to Marco Polo every day. And actually, Chris was the one who, I mean, he would always be in the room when we would be sending these videos to each other back and forth. And he was like, you know, you guys are good crack, I'm saying a Northern Irish term that doesn't translate. Crack is like fun. You guys are good fun. You guys should just go ahead and start a podcast. Like, I'm enjoying listening to this. Other people will probably enjoy listening to it. And
yeah,
I don't know if they do, but we definitely have a ton of fun on that podcast. And so it's super casual, but it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just a note for your trip that's coming up, when you get to our area and if you're in downtown Tampa and you ask for someone to like point you towards good crack, you're not going to be happy with, it's not like a fun place for the kids.
It's not good fun. It's not just like a ton of banter and laughs.
They will answer you, but it won't be that is the thing.
They're not going to send you to a comedy club.
No. Yeah. It won't be fun. That's great though. Yes. So making an effort, we'll put that link in the podcast description. But then you also have been doing this thing called Storied, mm-hmm. which is, I don't want to say too much. I want to hear you talk more about it. But it's been this like newsletter, community thing you've been doing. Can you tell me a little bit about how that got started, how you got to there?
Yeah. Wow. I don't even know how to start this story except for, so we had a rough year last year, like lots of people did. We had on a personal level and career-wise, obviously all of our touring stopped, which meant that we were basically out of a job in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And just a lot of stuff was going on. We ended up going back to Northern Ireland over the summer and most of the fall, just to kind of like retreat, honestly. Like we were just needed to like hit pause on life for a little bit and spend some time with family. And it was so great. It was so good for us. It was really just a huge blessing in 2020 for us. But out of that time, I think sometimes you can just hit like the more creative side of, I don't know, just bursts of creativity can kind of come out of those seasons.
Yeah.
And Chris and I just found ourselves in a place where we had all these, like, for years now, I mean, I don't know, like, since the beginning of our marriage, we have always processed our faith in a way, and I don't know if it's because we're Enneagram 4s and we really thrive on being contrary, but we have always processed our faith a little differently and just kind of felt very alone in that experience. I guess to use the popular word for it, we've just been experiencing some deconstruction for the last 7 years or so. And we felt very at peace with that process. We continue to be. It's not a scary place for us like it might have been a while back, but it still is a very lonely place because it's very hard to kind of share some of these things and not immediately get written off as not Christian enough, or you're not taking your faith seriously, or, you know, not having a large enough faith. And we were like, we don't really feel like that's at all what's happening. We feel like our faith is expanding, if anything.
Right, right.
But we'd love community to go through this with. So we started Storied, which is just a weekly newsletter where we could kind of write up an essay of something we're processing that week in that vein, and then a monthly Zoom call with anyone who wanted to join from the community. And honestly, it just really took off, like so much more than we imagined it would. I think we really started it as a way just for us to process kind of what we were going through and kind of hoping that we might get some community in that along the way. And it just turned out there were a lot more people who needed that than just us, which has been really encouraging for us. So that's what Storied is, continues to be. I will say, like, our Zoom calls are just super magical. You know, people are just so real. And I think, you know, now that we've been doing it, so we had our 6 month anniversary of Storied this last week.
Oh, congratulations.
It was fun to just be like, oh, wow, like, we've been doing this for some time now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of brought some clarity to what we want this thing to be. And really, we're just hoping that it's a community where you're allowed to ask your tough questions without fear of judgment or condemnation or getting written off or labeled in any kind of a way. Because here's my whole beef with deconstruction, the notion of deconstruction, is it comes with this very negative connotation that you're disrespectfully tearing something down that a lot of people hold really sacred.
Yeah.
For me, that is not at all what quote unquote deconstruction has looked like. For me, it has really looked like expanding my faith and asking God really hard questions and trusting that he can stand up to them, and that he's strong enough and big enough and good enough and gracious enough. And it's really been a positive experience. And I think too, I get frustrated with that term because I just think deconstruction, for lack of a better word, is just part of the Christian walk, in my opinion.
Right, right.
It's not a new thing. People have been going through evolution in their faith since the beginning of Christianity. And you can see that in all of the old writers and pastors and preachers. You know, we're always supposed to be growing, and God always promises to show us a new thing. And so that isn't to say we don't hold the things that he's taught us already, you know, sacred and valuable and
right
and good. There's just more, you know? And so that's kind of where the heart of Storied is in general. You know, I think we just kind of don't think you can truly grow if you're not growing from an authentic place of, you're not in a community that allows you to be your authentic self. Anything that comes out of your inauthentic self isn't truly growth. It's performance.
Yeah. Right.
So you need to have that space that feels safe. And I'm just so grateful that people feel that way or seem to feel that way who are a part of Storied. It's been so special.
Yeah. Yeah, we are a part of Storied. It is as good as what you're hearing. It's that good. It's even better. It's so thoughtful. It is it's just really a breath of fresh air every time we get the email. And I love the way you guys have it's written. I don't know if you said this, maybe I did, but it's written by you and Chris. You guys will both write different parts of it. But is he helping make the playlists, or is that all?
No, I don't want to give him. Me. That hilariously is me living out my childhood dreams of being a radio DJ. That's all I wanted to be when I was like 11. And so I'm kind of forcing my playlists on people.
Yeah.
So I release a monthly mixtape at the end of every newsletter. And some people seem to enjoy it. And I'm sure some people definitely skip over that part. But I will continue to make them because they bring me a lot of joy.
Yes.
So.
And don't you miss burning CDs that were like combinations of things?
Or you wait for your song. Like, you know, they'd be like, coming up, we're going to be playing Testify by Avalon. That was my jam. Like, hardcore. I remember being like 12 and like moved to tears. And so I'd be like, okay, I had my tape ready, my like boombox. And as soon as I heard that first note, I like hit record and I wore a hole in that tape. Like, it was so good. Anyway, this is really making me feel so old.
The Avalon reference is going to carry me through the rest of the day. The Avalon was it.
I just want to say, if you didn't raise your hands and have a jam sesh to that song, you're heart of stone.
Hardest, Avalon was a gift. And if you're not familiar with Avalon, look it up. Have you put Avalon on a mixtape yet?
No, maybe I should do a throwback mixtape.
But it's just going to be Avalon's discography, start to finish, deep cuts.
We'll have Avalon, we'll do Rebecca St. James. It'll be a jam.
Rebecca St. James was great. It was a good, there were some good things going on then. But it is very, the story is great. it's super cool. I mean, I can't recommend it enough.
Oh, thanks.
And I love the way you guys have talked about deconstruction. And I just want to go back to something you said, because it feels like it's painted in a light of the Christian faith is a tradition that's been going on for like thousands of years. And they've been building on, you're learning from the people that come before you and you're building. And then here comes this like millennial generation deconstructing. Mm-hmm. And I have felt like when you are in the position where you're asking good questions and when you're like pushing at things to see if they hold up, you find yourself in a history of people that have been doing this same thing. Like we're not new. This isn't a new, I love the way you just said that. This isn't a new practice. This is how we got to where we are today, was by asking tough questions. You look through the disciples in the Bible. They're constantly like way off base on certain things. They have to ask Jesus right then and there and say, well, if rich people can't get to heaven, then who can possibly get to heaven? Mm-hmm. Like you're having to wrestle with this thing. So very well said. And the storied community, if that's something that feels like you're there, is just great. It's just a wonderful thing. I'll put the link in there, but what's the best way to, how do you get to storied to join?
Yeah, I mean, I think through either Chris or my profiles, we have on Instagram, we have the links in our bio. That's probably the easiest way to get there. You're so right. One of my favorite stories, I think, kind of gets glossed over a lot in the New Testament, is, at least from this perspective, is that, we all are familiar with the story of, Peter having the dream about the animals that are, been cleansed, that are good to eat now. And that's, included animals that were not clean to eat in the traditional Jewish tradition. That actually was not the way I was going to go with this. Sorry. You can edit it or you cannot. Sorry. That is something that I care about, but I'm going to actually move you to a different passage, and maybe you can come back to the other one. But what I was actually thinking of is when they're trying to figure out if the gospel was for Gentiles or if it was just for people, the children of Israel, which it had been up until that point.
Right.
And Jesus, to the best of my biblical knowledge, which is not great, never really mentions the Gentiles. That's like something that comes in the New Testament in Acts. And they're praying about whether or not they should allow Gentiles into the church. And there's a very short verse, and I maybe we could look up the reference and include it in the show notes, because I don't know it off the top of my head, where it just says they prayed about it and asked the Holy Spirit, and it seemed good to them. And they decided, like in the moment, like in their communion as a collective community, and together with the Holy Spirit, they made changes to the law in some ways, which I don't know if that's like kind of too scary to go on record to say, but I just think that this isn't new. Asking questions of the law and asking questions of God and of the Bible and the way things are done is not new. It is in the Bible. It is in church history, and there are ways you can do it in communion with the Holy Spirit and in community with other Christians that is respectful, that is authentic, and is good, and it benefits other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard somebody say recently that I loved, like, most examples of people reading the Bible in scriptures, it's done in a group. And in fact, one of the only examples you get is the Ethiopian eunuch who's reading it and says, in the story, says, like, how can I understand this if somebody won't help me, like, unpack this? And that's where you get. But it works for the Peter story that you referenced, too, because it's like, I think what is scary for people is you're going through this process and the people around you might think, like, that they're doing something wrong because they're not at the place that you're at. And so that's why I love the story with Peter that you mentioned, because it's Peter saying, like, no, these aren't clean animals. Mm-hmm. And he was, that's a biblical take. He's, he's not
like, it's literally in the Bible.
It's not him arguing whether or not pineapple goes on pizza. That's him literally like following the law that he knew to that point. And then God saying like, this is, I'm, don't call dirty what I'm, what I've called clean. So, yes. Yes to all of those things. Yes to Storied. Join the Storied. And this is a great time to join Storied because the Avalon podcast or mixtape is coming up next.
That's right. April. It's going to be the Avalon one.
April, Avalon. All of this is stacking up perfect. but I wanted to go over to... So it's great. Anyway, if this was all... If you stop now and just go get on the Storied community, that's fine. That's great. But we are going to talk about another part of the Bible, if that's okay, Gabby. Are you into it?
Let's do it.
I want to talk about a passage. I think a lot of people are familiar with the idea of this passage, but I don't know how many people have read it. I know this was the case for me when I started this process. I was like, I have referred to this text, but I don't know the last time I read it. And which is just a fun thing, by the way. You should just, this is my recommendation for you, listener, just go back and like, you might be like, oh, David and Goliath. I know that story. Well, every once in a while, just go back and read it. It's just fun. You just find things you didn't see before.
Totally.
Such is the case with Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31.
Can you familiar with this? Say, I think it's so telling that you were experiencing it in a new way, potentially the only time, because as a woman, as a woman who's grown up in Christian tradition, I know pretty much all of these verses by heart in some way. Like, I mean, it's been a while since I visited it.
Yes.
But also, I think it's telling that this is one of the ones that, this is one of those passages of the Bible that I am probably very familiar with.
Yeah.
And probably a lot of the women listening to this would say something similar.
Sure. That's a great call out. Because that's like, if you're not familiar, if you didn't come up in like a faith evangelical background, Proverbs 31 woman is like the title. Like, I don't know, for an evangelical, specifically woman, is there higher praise than that? Would be my question.
Mm-mm. I think that's it. We have conferences and books and devotionals and mugs and all the stuff that is just around this concept of what a woman should be.
And it is, and there's verses that, you know, you go to and you're like, well, sure, right? I mean, verse 10, Proverbs 31, verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. 11 is her husband has full confidence in her. There's a verse I'm skimming right now. Oh, for those of you that like to follow along, we're Proverbs 31, verse 10 is where this started. Verse 10, and it goes all the way through the end of the passage there. Yeah, here it is, verse 28. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. So a lot of times the shorthand, they'll pull these that are just like, yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Who wouldn't want these things? I want my children to think my wife is great because she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
She's standing very close to me right now.
Hi, Rachel.
Oh, she said, hi, Rachel. but here's what I thought was funny, Gabby, because I was not as familiar as maybe you are. The list of things to do in here is unbelievable.
It is. Yeah, it is.
It's 30, or I'm sorry, it's 21 verses. And you would think, right, to say something like, her children arise and call her blessed. I would think this would mean something like, I don't know, she makes good sandwiches for their lunch.
Yeah,
or she hides little treats. You can do a little treat.
She puts a little fruit roll up in their packed lunch.
Fruit roll up. And even if you don't want to eat it, you can trade for whatever you want at the lunch table if you go in with a fruit roll-up.
It's the currency.
But what you see when you go into this thing is, you know, you get verse 15. She gets up while it's still night. So she has to get up super early. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. Mm-hmm. My friend had a great joke about that where he said, it's like she goes to the Whole Foods across town because the local Kroger is not good enough. No. There's other things in here. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard.
She had a full-time job and she's investing. She's an investor as well.
She knows about real estate. She knows how to run a vineyard. Yep.
This is just standard.
This is just what she does. This is just a day for a Proverbs 31 woman. She, verse 22, she makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes.
She's got an Etsy shop.
She's got an Etsy shop. She's not just making the linens for her own house. Oh. She's selling them, using that money to plant. And this is a lot. Do you feel like, how does anyone come across this passage and be like, oh, this is something I could do? I could be a Proverbs 31 woman.
I think that is the crux of this, is I think a lot of people don't, you know, like this is what people take issue with. This is what women take issue with in some ways. It just feels so unattainable. You know,
and it is. Mm-hmm. It's just there's no way you could do all this. But I'll tell you this, Gabby, she probably has a lot of support from a very hardworking husband. If she is doing all this, surely her husband is doing great things. And I'm glad you brought that up, because we get a glimpse into her husband's day in Proverbs 31:23. You can look this up. I promise you, I'm just reading it straight out of the NIV. Verse 23. Her husband is respected at the city gate, and there's nothing wrong with that, he takes his seat among the elders of the land. So while she is up at the crack of dawn, getting food from faraway lands, making and selling linens for her Etsy shop, probably doing the fitted sheets, which most of us can't even figure out how to fold, she's sewing them. By hand, because at this time there was no sewing machines. She's selling them. She's using that money to buy land. She's scoped out land. You got to go through inspections to get that stuff done.
Yeah.
She's got the vineyard going. She's sneaking the snacks into her kids' lunch before she sends them off to school, while her husband goes and sits somewhere all day.
I thought it's important. It's important sitting. It's very important.
It's true. He's not just sitting anywhere.
Someone's got to do it, you know?
He wasn't sitting there. Who knows who would be sitting there? He's just sitting at the gate. And I think this has been a topic. I do think this text is connected to that previous conversation, because, like, as a woman coming up through, and I guess I'm presuming here, were you evangelical growing up?
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's unpacking and, you know, again, we're using the word deconstruction. We've talked about our thoughts on that, but as you're going through that process, is there things you have to unpack that were taught to you about what it means to be a woman, or what a woman should be, that you've had to particularly deal with?
Oh, I mean, I'm not sure how much I should edit myself here.
Not at all. We don't edit here.
That is the disclaimer you gave me going into
this. I said that first thing.
No editing. Okay, so this is what I'll say. I read this list, and I'm not a biblical scholar. I am nothing. So this is just me as a normal lay person absorbing this text. To me, maybe not quite in these specific examples, but I see a lot of women doing this kind of stuff. Like, I see women doing side hustles, getting up at the crack of dawn to work out, to provide for their families, to really just like hustle to get stuff done. So the spirit of the text, I completely resonate with. I mean, I don't do all of this stuff, to be fair, but as someone who has dreams and ambitions and cares about my family, I look at that my friends, my peers, like the women in my life, I know that they're all badasses. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that word, but they are.
And it's in the Bible.
It is. It probably is. So the spirit of it, I resonates with me. I'm like, sure. I get it. I know strong women who do this stuff. The thing that I think gets often overlooked in my opinion, in a woman's role, is that, so in the beginning of this wife of noble character passage, it starts with, you know, a wife of noble character who can find she is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. To me, that implies that they're teammates, that they really respect each other, that they are on the same page. And I think sometimes what makes me frustrated is I see all these women who are, you know, doing a lot of this stuff. Maybe they're not buying vineyards, but they're buying other things.
Yeah.
They're doing other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're capable and they're intelligent and they're smart. And I think sometimes the capabilities of women in the church specifically and in church culture get downplayed. And so what frustrates me as a woman sometimes in Christian culture is like we're called to all these super intense things. Then we're not kind of given sometimes the respect that I think we more than earn. And it's not because I think not to say that. And I mean, we're joking about, you know, the guys just sitting at the gate. This isn't to say I'm not elevating women over men.
Yeah, yeah.
What I'm saying is I think sometimes we don't give women the respect that I think they deserve, you know, within Christian culture, if I'm really honest, if I'm going full unedited, that's kind of what I feel is like, you know, I see these women, you know, I see these women working side jobs and doing stuff and pursuing their passions and raising their families well and loving their spouses. And then to not get treated as an equal.
Right.
Is kind of mind blowing to me because, you know, they're really doing a lot. And that's not to say men aren't doing a lot or that men aren't earning their place. You know, that's not a commentary on men at all. It's just, why do we discriminate that way? That's my question.
Well, and it's so good. I honestly, that's such a great read because in verse 11, like you said, you have that verse, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. When you get down to verse 31, like the summary of the whole thing, honor her for all that her hands have done and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So you get that. There's a great juxtaposition there with like her husband is respected at the city gate is in verse 23. But in verse 31, it's let her works bring her praise at the city gate, which even implies a bit of like that's not about him. He's been sitting there all day.
So he
doesn't get credit for the 700 thread count sheets that she's been making and selling.
I've never made sheets, for the record.
Where would you even start?
I don't know.
But that's so good. Yeah, it's there. The husband's role in this case, but the male role in general, if you break it down that way, is often, I think you're right, like not fulfilled. It's usually more about, I feel like so many of the conversations about women, gifted women in Christian circles is what they can't do. Here's where they can't go. Mm-hmm. Here's the line that we need to be really hard and fast. And then there's an immediate suspicion over, well, why do they want to do that? And why do they? And so even just to take the posture of the male character in Proverbs 31 of like, oh no, she's great. Like just like a doting, no, she's awesome.
Yeah.
Is often not what women are met with in Christian circles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, there are other parts of the Bible that talk about, you know, women's place in the church and in marriage and all of that. And we don't need to go into all of that today, but I do think that this passage anyway, it commands a lot of respect for women.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying all women are like this, obviously, but a lot of the women in my life really do embody a lot of these things, even if they're not buying vineyards and making their own sheets. They're doing a lot of other stuff. And sometimes I get frustrated. I grew up in a church where women weren't allowed to do anything in leadership except for lead some Bible or some, you know, children's Bible studies and they could do announcements sometimes from the pulpit. And this is just my opinion, and obviously not everyone needs to have it. But I just think, what a waste of giftings and even anointing in some cases, where, you know, you're really missing half of the church, and you're really missing half of the gifts that God has given to the church when you don't allow women to live out their full potential within a church community, and serve in certain ways.
Yeah.
And that's really heartbreaking to me. You know, I remember I wanted to go to seminary, and I was told girls don't go to seminary. And so I didn't. I really didn't go because I thought I wasn't allowed. And I don't actually regret that. I think that God had me on a path, and I'm happy to be where I am. And
yeah,
but it's, I think sometimes we don't think about that in our modern times, that there are still doors that are closed to women living out their full God intended potential and living out the fullness of the gifts that they have.
Yeah.
And, that's something I personally would love to see change more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I'm just curious, for you and Chris, you know, because he has a career that is so, like, you know, when you're on tour, like, it's not like you're not off, like, you're you're working so much, but you are super smart and super independent. You're doing your thing too. So how do, like, you guys navigate through that? In what ways have you felt like he's supported you to pursue what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, he's always been really supportive. And just in a lot of ways has had a lot more belief in my gifts and the things that I have to offer than I have had myself, in times past. And I'm so grateful for that, because, I needed someone to, like, give me that confidence in some ways. 'Cause a lot of my confidence, like I said, like that example, was kind of, not, I don't want to say shattered, because that sounds really melodramatic. I don't have, like, a lot of harbored bitterness about it. But when you are constantly met with closed doors, you kind of just start to assume all the doors are closed, right? And so marrying someone who just, I mean, and he's like this in regards to me and everything, you know, the world is a place of opportunity. And if it's that way for me, and, you know, whatever God opens for you is somewhere that you can go, you know, that's very much how he lives his life. And so that freedom definitely carried over into our marriage and my mindset as well. He's just super supportive, basically.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, I've done a lot of supporting of his ministry, you know, like, I put my career on hold. I did a lot of unglamorous jobs on the road, and sometimes cheerfully, and honestly, sometimes not. But we really felt like God was calling us to the ministry of Rend, and it continues to call us to that. And so, you know, we all have our bad days, but for the most part, we both really believed in that. And so I think there is, like, a little bit of, not reciprocity, but, you know, we approach things as a team, you know.
Yeah, he
gets that this is, I mean, and this is what he would say too, we're both meant to live out the fullness of who God has created us to be. And in some ways, those things are deeply intertwined.
Yeah.
And sometimes they are different, you know, and our role as each other's husband and wife is to really be on the, you know, in the front of the bleachers, like, cheering each other on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, it just from the distance I'm at, always seems like that's the nature of your relationship. And I can also say, you know, Rachel's never told me that I'm good crack. So I don't, you're experiencing a kind of partner support that I've not yet ascended to. I think we're working our way there, which is good.
Oh gosh.
But yeah.
I'm definitely not the funny one in our relationship at all. So I, whenever he says, "Oh, that was a funny joke, babe," I really take that to heart. I'm like, yes, I made a funny joke. I'm gold star. She treasured these things up in her heart.
I did. That's right. That's right. No, I think that's all. That's all so good. And it's so necessary. I think when, yeah. And even in faith communities and church families, like we got to start seeing each other as partners in this and not as like, well, this group is going to do everything and make all the decisions. And then every other, and I think it's, yeah, it's part of the reason why there's such there's so many different things going on in the church right now, because there people are trying to, there's people that are done being told that I can't go past this point. And so they're either, you know, starting their own faith communities or whatever. So I think that's a great, that's a great word.
Oh, thanks.
No, thank you. Thanks for being on the podcast. Next time you're on, we'll talk about all that other stuff. But this was wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time out to come on. Yeah. Now we've had the whole Llewellyn clan on. We just should have Danny.
It'd be a lot of Daniel Tiger references. So,
is that what you guys are watching? Is Daniel Tiger?
Yes. Mega into Daniel Tiger. Puffin' Rock on Netflix. I don't know.
Puffin' Rock is
a Northern Irish cartoon.
Very Puffin' Rock is great.
It is.
It's the tone that everyone like talks in this. Like, I never wanted to. When I'm, our kids are not as into it, but our my kid's like best friend down the way, he watches it. Have you watched any? I'm sorry, this is a little rabbit trail for those of you without kids. First of all, I want to comment on Daniel Tiger. Daniel Tiger's dad is too good, and I don't. I why I don't allow it in the house, because I'm like, that is an impossible. You have such a cool voiced dad on Daniel Tiger. I don't want every time. I'm like, I want Daniel Tiger's dad to be my dad.
Those parents are in so much therapy. That's the thing that they're not showing. It's the behind the scenes that you don't get to see.
Mr. and Mrs. Tiger are doing so much inner work.
That's right.
There's a show called Bluey. Have you heard of Bluey?
Mm-mm.
Okay. That's my tip to you and all listeners. Right. It is like Australian, I think.
Okay.
And it is laugh out loud funny. Like I honestly don't think our kids like it as much as I do, but it makes me.
Those are the best kinds of shows, for sure.
And it's definitely a kid's show. It's not like, oh, maybe it's a kid's show. It's 100% a kid's show, but it's about a family of dogs, and it makes me laugh out loud. Bluey, that's my kid's show recommendation for today. Once again, thank you so much. We will put in the show description links to, give them the podcast title one more time.
The Making an Effort Podcast.
Making an Effort Podcast. And the Storied Community. We'll put both of those links in the show notes. And then, what's your Instagram handle that I hyped so much earlier?
It's Gab Llewellyn, and I'm not even going to bother spelling that on this podcast. So you can show notes that as well if you want.
When you're in the search bar, just keep putting L's and vowels and then N at the end. And
I think if you just put 6 or 7 L's in the search bar, we show up. So...
Whenever you come across a last name like that, I'm like, I don't even have a guess.
I know.
I can't even begin to form that. It's like those Old Testament words. You come across those and you're like, I'm not even going to try this. Thank you so much for having on. We'll put all that in the show notes. We'll have to have you on again very soon. Would you come on again if we did it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad we were decent hosts. and you listeners, Bible's Funny family out there, thank you so much for listening and for messaging. I love when you guys message the Instagram at The Bible is Funny. Love to hear from you, your thoughts, maybe some things we can cover in future episodes. Anything you want to send me on Instagram, I'm always here for it. And then rating and reviewing the podcast. It's the best way you can support what we're doing. Reviews and rating is like the stars and then review. Those are different things. So if you do that, share it with your friends and family and things. That's so lovely. All of you that do that. We thank you so much for it. And we will be back again soon with another episode of the podcast.
The Bible is for